NTSB knows why that 737 lost a chunk of its fuselage. White Knight 2 is in the shop after a landing incident. And recovery efforts for a hell diver hit a snag. Literally, this is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 23rd, 2010. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has reported probable cause in the case of a Southwest Airlines 737 that suffered cabin depressurization July 13, 2009, over West Virginia after a 12-by-18-inch hole opened in the top of the fuselage at 35,000 feet. There were no injuries reported. The board determined that the failure was caused by fatigue cracks in a section of the fuselage near the leading edge of the vertical stabilizer, at a spot where the manufacturing process uses chemical milling to remove metal in selected areas from the inner of two sandwiched aluminum panels. In September of last year, Boeing issued a service bulletin calling for inspections and reporting of any cracks found to the manufacturer. In January of this year, the FAA gave that the force of an airworthiness directive. At the time of the Southwest incident, the plane had accumulated over 50,000 hours and over 42,000 cycles. White Knight 2, the launch platform for Virgin Galactic's Spaceship 2, was slightly damaged Thursday morning in what Scaled Composites calls a mechanical problem with its left main landing gear. There were no injuries reported. The incident took place about 11:15 a.m. Pacific at the Mojave Air and Spaceport in California. Scaled Composites said the setback came on the mothership's 37th test flight and had no effect on Spaceship 2, which was not attached at the time. White Knight 2 has been flying since December of 2008. Efforts led by the National Naval Aviation Museum in Pensacola, Florida, to exhume a rare SB-2C-4 World War II hell diver from the bottom of the lower Otay Reservoir near San Diego resumed on Friday as divers work in near-zero visibility to pump heavy silt from the aircraft before attempting to raise it to the surface. On Tuesday of last week, parts of a parachute apparently got sucked into a pump being operated by AMT Recovery and took it out of service. Another pump was borrowed from the city, but the project fell behind schedule. There's only one hell diver known to still be flying in the world. This one, once it's restored, will be a static display. Up next on ANN, Aircell declares victory in a patent infringement case. The airlines are making more money on fewer travelers, and an already late departure is delayed further by a hijack hoax. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 23rd. I'm Paul Platt. Aircell says it has beat back a lawsuit from Ambit Corporation, which claimed Aircell's GoGo in-flight internet service was infringing on patents held by Ambit. Aircell says a jury found in its favor after months of trial, and that in settlement of the various claims and counterclaims, Ambit has paid it an undisclosed sum, with an additional condition that Ambit won't sue in the future. Aircell says its service is now in use on nearly 1,000 aircraft with 9 airlines. Fewer people are flying on U.S. airlines, but they're paying significantly more for the privilege, leading to revenue growth over 2009. That's the nutshell summary of the July stats from the Air Transport Association of America, whose members carry 90% of U.S. airline passenger and cargo traffic. Compared to the previous year, July saw passenger traffic down 1%, but the cost per seat mile up 17% overall, and up 36% on international routes, led by a 52% jump in trans-Pacific markets. The stats for cargo lagged by an additional month, but ATA says that cargo in June was up over the same month last year by 8% domestically and 28% internationally, for a net gain of 19% driven mainly by increased international trade. Don't expect any significant growth in available airline passenger seats anytime soon. ATA President James May says the industry, quote, is mindful of cautionary notes about the health of the overall economy, unquote. The FBI would really like to know who phoned in a hijack threat hoax just before American Airlines Flight 24, already more than 2 hours late leaving San Francisco for JFK, was finally about to take off on Thursday. TSA stopped the plane from departing and said it was moved to a secure location away from the terminal on the airport. All of the passengers were taken off the plane and rescreened through security, six at a time, and the plane was swept for explosives. One couple, who a fellow passenger said were traveling on Pakistani passports, was detained but released without charges. The two people told the Associated Press they were upset to have been singled out, but knew police were just doing their jobs. Regarding all the disrupted travel plans, FBI spokesman Joseph Shadler commented, quote, "We take any threat against an airline or potential terrorist activity very seriously. You treat them like it's real until proven otherwise, because the cost of failure is so high," unquote. Still ahead, the FAA gives more private spaceflight clout to Las Cruces. The Planetary Society says Congress is off course on space policy. And NASA's taking requests for shuttle wake-up music. Within reason. You're listening to Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD NEXRAD, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.foreflight.com. ForeFlight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Leading the way to a new generation of aircraft, Eclipse Aerospace introduces the Total Eclipse Twin Engine Jet. The Total Eclipse is a sophisticated, high-performance aircraft with low operating costs, low environmental impact, and uncompromised safety. Every Total Eclipse jet comes with flights to 41,000 feet, max cruise speeds of 370 knots, an onboard color radar with electronic moving maps and e-charts. And, of course, every Total Eclipse comes complete with a factory warranty. Log on to eclipseaerospace.net for more information.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 23rd. I'm Paul Platt. While parochial lawmakers from traditional NASA strongholds fight to keep the federal money flowing to places like Texas and Florida, the FAA has announced a new Air Transportation Center of Excellence for Commercial Space Transportation, and it's in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says the center is a partnership of academia, industry, and government, developed for the purpose of creating a world-class consortium that will address current and future challenges for commercial space transportation. Quote, "The Obama administration is committed to making sure the United States remains the world leader in space development and exploration. This new center underscores that commitment and will ensure that the commercial space community can meet our current and future space transportation needs," unquote. The Center for Excellence for Commercial Space Transportation will be launched before the end of this month and will guide efforts including space launch operations and traffic management, launch vehicle systems, payloads, technologies, and operations, commercial human spaceflight, and space commerce, including space law, insurance, policy, and space regulation. The FAA says it will pay at least $1 million per year to cover half the center's costs. The political turmoil sparked by the Obama administration's new direction for NASA has the Planetary Society concerned, as lawmakers have jumped to preserve traditional pork. The Society notes four individual congressional subcommittees are pushing their own competing alternatives. In a letter sent to the chairman and ranking minority leaders of those subcommittees, the Society notes, quote, "The bills reject the president's new plan, as well as the old Constellation plan, and instead come up with a patchwork of proposals," unquote. The letter is signed by Planetary Society Executive Director Lewis Friedman, incoming Executive Director Bill Nye, President Jim Bell, and VP Heidi Hamel. The Society says shortcomings in the bills include no plan to restore U.S. technical capability to launch astronauts to space once the shuttle's retired, leaving a gap longer than even the Ares program, quote, "and certainly longer than could be expected from the commercial launch industry if they're supported," unquote. The group concludes that the way forward, quote, "may require stepping back from each of the congressional bills now passed by committees and refocusing on the whole. Congress's interests and the administration's interests are more alike than different. We urge your support for a new NASA plan," unquote. And finally today, decades ago, NASA's choices for music to wake up the astronauts orbiting the Earth used to make the nightly broadcast TV news. It's become fairly routine in more recent times, though, and the music is usually chosen by family and friends of the astronauts. But NASA is invoking a little nostalgia by asking for the public's help in choosing the music to be used as an alarm clock on the last two shuttle missions. For Discovery's STS-133 mission in November, the top two vote-getters from a list of wake-up songs used on previous missions will be used. With tongue-in-cheek, NASA notes the finalists proposed for voting will consist of the top 40, perhaps to invoke the feel of an oldies request show. For Endeavour's STS-134 mission, now scheduled for launch February 26th, original compositions are being sought by January 10th. They'll be screened by a NASA panel and posted for public voting starting February 8th, and the two most popular will be used during the final shuttle mission. Compositions must have a space theme. You can get the details using the FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated August 22nd, at aero-news.net. And be patient when you go to that website and watch the intro. It's really pretty funny. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves addresses listener feedback in a Best of Bob segment. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.